Welcome to The Current, a podcast produced by We Stand for Energy. We Stand for Energy is a community that supports a reliable, affordable, and sustainable energy future for everyone, and is a project of EEI, the National Trade Association representing U.S. investor-owned electric companies. My name is Brad Viator, Vice President of External Affairs at EEI, and I am your host.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. We're getting to dig a little bit deeper into a topic that's becoming one of my favorites, and that's the intersection between electric utilities and telecommunications. And to dive deeper into that topic, I'm joined by Bhavani Amirathalingam, who is the Senior Vice President and Chief Digital Information Officer at Ameren. Bhavani, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me here, Brad. Looking forward to the conversation.
All right, well, let's get into it. So I've heard you say in the past that telecommunications is an important part of any grid of the future. Can you expand on this and tell us more about what we're calling the communication grid?
Yeah, absolutely. Just think about utilities in general and where we're all headed. Building a sustainable, reliable, secure, and smart grid is a key focus for all utilities, including Ameren. And, you know, we all continue to see an exponential growth in connected devices that support grid automation to reduce outages, drive overall situational awareness, and enable all the data-driven decision-making that's needed for safe, reliable, and efficient grid operations. And building an enhanced, secure communications infrastructure, you know, what we often refer to as the third grid, or the communications grid, is a foundational capability, you know, to enable the millions of connected devices going on the grid. You know, at Ameren, we're deploying a fiber optic network across our footprint, utilizing our grid infrastructure to build a highly secure and robust packet-based network backbone. The fiber backbone helps converge communication across our grid and provides high-speed network connectivity to critical locations and services. And so it serves as a backhaul communication for our field area networks, which are primarily wireless, and as well as a backhaul for our meshed meter network. And today, you know, we support a multitude of legacy solutions and have greater dependency on carriers to provide some of these critical services when you think about the field area networks. And that is where we are in the process of implementation of private LTE capabilities, you know, to support that field area network needs that will then tap into the backhaul based on fiber.
So let me dig into that a little bit more. So it sounds like Ameren's been making investments into fiber for some time. Can you talk to me a little bit about the sort of assets that you have, that your company has now, that you're trying to utilize, and then also look forward a little bit into some of the new types of investments you're planning to make?
Absolutely. So, you know, if you think about our fiber, I'll stop there. You know, we're leveraging the infrastructure resources today on our grid, and we continue our fiber deployment, leveraging that infrastructure. We started this a few years ago. By the end of 2023, we'll have 4,500 miles of fiber across our footprint. And as I mentioned earlier, this fiber deployment provides us high-speed connectivity. So we will have 100 gig in connectivity to our data centers, our operations centers, our generations fleet, and 10 gig connectivity to all our remaining critical grid assets. So that's, you know, really important. Because the network follows the grid, we will have redundant high-speed communication links to all of these critical assets. So the redundancy is another key piece of it as well. So that's, you know, the fiber backbone itself. And then the second piece, as I mentioned earlier, is really around how do we transform the field area network and how does private LTE play a role in there? And that is an initiative we've been working on over the last really couple of years that we're really excited to see that come to fruition, you know, with our latest focus with investing in the 900 megahertz spectrum to support that. So that really helps us with being able to manage the connected devices going on to the distribution side of the grid as well.
Your company made an announcement about a partnership that they made with Anterix on the 900 megahertz spectrum. Can you tell us a little bit about that partnership and how you're thinking about the value that that's going to provide both to your system and to your customers?
Sure, absolutely. You know, and I touched on, obviously, there's the fiber backbone and then the private LTE capabilities to support the field area networks. You know, today we have 20 plus legacy purpose-built networks, right? And what this gives us the opportunity to standardize across that footprint and build private LTE capabilities leveraging the 900 megahertz spectrum. So one of the things we've been doing through 2018 and 2019 is really looking at the 900 megahertz spectrum, partnering with Anterix, with the FCC, to really validate the use cases for utilities, right? And so we had 14 plus use cases that we really wanted to make sure are really going to work very effectively for us in the 900 megahertz spectrum. And, you know, that was a huge step, first step for us. And then the rulemaking that came into play last year by the FCC, making the 900 megahertz spectrum available to critical infrastructure providers, large enterprises, you know, made it obviously really attractive for us. That actually enabled the contract that we ended up putting in place with Anterix. And what it does is basically when you're building out a private, to deploy a private LTE network, we will require spectrum. And the frequencies are usually managed by the FCC, and the spectrum is used to basically provide all over-the-air communication, you know, to grid edge devices. It is a hard-to-find commodity, you know, that truly works for what we would be looking for from a utility perspective. And so we're partnering with Anterix, and that gives us the opportunity to acquire the spectrum. And, you know, we have a lease agreement with them, but it gives us the ability to really leverage that spectrum. Anterix does own a significant footprint of the 900 megahertz spectrum today. And so this gave us the opportunity to lease and, you know, and gives us reachability of the spectrum, right? The profile for scale and reachability of this 900 megahertz spectrum is really ideal for utility needs, and it supports grid automation.
It makes me want to dig into one of the topics that I hear discussed among policymakers, which is sort of this concept of wireless internet access versus fiber optic and sort of hardwired broadband access. Elon Musk, right, is talking about building out these bigger wireless networks, and a lot of the telcos are talking about that too. And then we're also hearing about the need for hardwired broadband. How do those two different approaches work together?
So, you know, I think it's an interesting question. You know, a couple of things. I think they work together. I'll have folks ask me, so how does private LTE work alongside 5G, for instance, right? You know, you build on top of your private LTE capabilities for 5G. I don't think it's either or. It's really, you know, you're going to have different usability, different use cases for each.
Yeah, and I guess it speaks to just what the telecommunication ecosystem looks like, right? We have so much technology that is being built upon these telecommunication networks that it seems to me that we almost can't have too much infrastructure there because of just the sort of rapid innovation that's occurring on the telecommunications grid. Okay, since I hold the microphone, I get to ask the question about my favorite part of the conversation. Can you tell me a little bit about what your company is doing legislatively on middle mile broadband in Missouri?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. We've engaged with NARUC, with federal and state policymakers, you know, to champion investor-owned utility participation in this whole middle mile broadband that can really benefit utility customers and the communities that we serve in and where we have our broadband assets. And there are a couple of areas that, you know, utilities, including us, continue to work through, you know, at a state level, right? One is around easements and condemnation. For instance, in our case, Ameren's current utility easements on private property only permit use of our infrastructure for the delivery of electric power and do not permit us to lease our assets to third parties, right, for broadband services. We do need to have rights to condemn property, to acquire necessary amendments to easements. So that is an area that we continue to work in Missouri and, you know, what utilities in general will have to work through at a state level, right, as it relates to legislatively managing the situation with easements and condemnation. The other thing is around risk of disallowance, right? So ensuring there is appropriate legislation in place to ensure there's no risk of disallowance if assets are determined to be for broadband use and not purely utility use. So I think that's a really important piece as well. The last one I can think of is the whole regulatory process, right? Ensuring the regulatory process doesn't require approval for every individual third-party contract.
One of the things that I'm reminded of when electric companies talk about this pivoting of easement utilization and to be able to use electricity easements and rights of way for telecommunications purposes, the thing it conjures in my mind is what we've talked about with smart city investments for the last 5 or 6 years, right? Like, it just makes a lot more sense to dig the hole once, to invest in the infrastructure once, and have a lot more, pardon the pun, utility for the investments that you're making, right? And right. It seems to me that that's the path you're driving down here. And I think that that's, you know, really cool and innovative and necessary if we're going to bridge this digital divide that everyone's talking about.
Listen, we have to make these investments to run reliable grid operations for the future, for now and for the future, to help with that challenge. I think that's where utilities can play a key role.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for that overview. Curious to get your thoughts on sort of what you're excited about and what's next. I know you're operating in a world where everything's exciting because there's a lot of new, but going to ask you to take a step back and think about maybe one or two things that you're excited about right now and a couple other things that you're thinking about longer term that might become possible.
Sure, absolutely. You know, I think for us, the fiber build out is more of, you know, we're already in that journey. We're more than 50% done. We will see that to completion through the end of 2023. We're starting, embarking on this private LTE implementation. So that's, you know, to me, what's exciting in terms of what's ahead. The other piece that, you know, I think is transforming pretty rapidly is the smart grid, right? Of the number of connected devices going on the grid and the things you can actually do as it relates to grid automation, voltage optimization, distributed energy resources, integration of that into the grid. The communication grid plays such an integral part of all of that. And, you know, I think so seeing this investment and infrastructure becoming a critical part of what we're trying to do there, right? I think it directly ties back to reliable, resilient, secure grid for the future.
When I hear you talk about the opportunities on the communication grid, I hear a lot of that sort of tone and opportunity there. A lot of our listeners are familiar with the investments that have been made on the energy grid. So it's heartening and fascinating to hear you think about it that way and how you could just create an ecosystem that is the backbone of a lot of just life-altering innovation.
Sure, absolutely. You know, communication infrastructure by itself may not be a very exciting topic, but I do think it is so critical for the grid of the future. And, you know, it's a very key aspect for utilities.
Well, thank you, Bhavani. I've appreciated this conversation. Appreciate your time and expertise.
Thank you, Brad. Thanks for having me. Pleasure.
We hope you found this to be an informative 15 minutes, and we look forward to bringing you additional expert insights on energy policy. To learn more about EEI and the electric power industry, visit www.eei.org. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts by searching for The Current and We Stand for Energy.